Now Sri Aurobindo explains what is the psychology of Arjuna, which typifies similar human beings who can be in the world. And the interest of Arjuna's character is that most of us fulfill that type of Arjuna. Most of the human beings in the world are in a sense similar to Arjuna. Therefore, the story of Arjuna fits into our life quite easily. Now, what are the characteristics? In fact, the whole chapter called The Human Disciple is written to describe the nature, the psychological nature of Arjuna. The Divine Teacher is already shown to be the internal avatar, whereas Arjuna is a kind of a representative man with certain typical characteristics. And Sri Aurobindo now points out that this typical character is first of all sattvic in nature, but subject to all the three gunas. That's the first statement about Arjuna. He is sattvic. Not because he is totally sattvic, because whenever human beings normally are neither one or the other absolutely. There is a mixture of three gunas all the time. He is fundamentally a man of the mind, a mental being. But among mental beings there are three basic types. There is a rational mental being, there is an ethical mental being, and there is an aesthetic mental being. Anybody who reaches the stage of mind development, there are three types. The sattva is fundamentally the character of the mind. Somebody is obviously very much, but his mind is not very much developed. One is either tamasic or rajasic. When the mind begins to develop, the sattva also begins to develop. Because what is sattva? Sattva has two fundamental characteristics. One is light, and another is delight. These two characteristics are very peculiar to sattva. Anybody who is sattvic in temperament has a natural liking towards knowledge. And there is always in that consciousness some kind of harmony, some kind of delight. Not disciplined delight, but some kind of delight which constantly goes on vibrating in a sattvic consciousness. If you notice children, for example, it can very easily find out that sattvic children are very often misjudged by the parents because they are not so-called smart. The rajasic children are often smart. They are very dynamic and bubbling and moving about and courageous and doing this, doing that, but can never rest. The sattvic boy or girl remains very quiet, basically, because there is inner harmony. This quietude may also sometimes be misunderstood as tamasic, because there is some kind of commonality between inertia and lack of movement. And this harmony, where also there is a lack of movement of the ordinary kind. But whether the inertia is tamasic or it is sattvic can be determined by the fact that sattvic consciousness is in search of knowledge, but not a rajasic search of knowledge. In a rajasic search of knowledge, one is goes about breaking, opening, this, etc., in a very great rush. But a sattvic man is quiet, considerate, looks at the things from many points of view, and opens the doors of knowledge very quietly, very seriously, sincerely. But his tendency is to discover knowledge. And there is an inner delight. This is how you can distinguish between the sattvic child and the rajasic child. But as I said, in sattva, or at the mental level, there are three kinds. The sattvic, has three kinds. The rational, ethical and aesthetic, predominantly. Now, a rational sattvic person is a thinker, is a philosopher, who is in search of truth as distinguished from appearance. The aesthetic mental man is in search of beauty, creativity, and experience. The aesthetic personality is a pursuer of experience, as distinguished from the sattvic rational personality, which is in search of thought, not experience, but of thought, of knowledge in the form of thinking, of conception. The sattvic moral personality is in search of being good, as distinguished from being evil. This is the fundamental drive of the sattvic moral man. Now Arjuna is cast in this particular mold. He typifies a moral sattvic human being.
There is
an
overlapping of all the three.
Oh yes, as I said in the very beginning, predominance is the one that distinguishes one from the other. But otherwise, all the three are present. The human nature is actually a great mixture. There is nobody purely sattvic without rajas and tamas. No purely rajasic without sattva and tamas. No purely tamas without having some rajas and some sattva. That is of course understood. And yet by virtue of predominance of one or the other, you can make a distinction.
So what I mean was the ethical, the moralist and the aesthetic, as you're saying, in the sattva. There is overlapping of these three also in the sattvic
mode. Well, yes, similarly, just as in the case of sattva, rajas and tamas, there is mixture. Similarly, every mental being basically needs to think. The question is, what kind of thinking? The purely mental sattvic being, who is rational, has a special kind of temperament, which is scientific, philosophic, and which pursues knowledge for the sake of knowledge. That is a special characteristic of a sattvic rational being. The moralist may also seek knowledge, but his question is, what is the use of that knowledge in practice of good? So tries to equate knowledge immediately with action. A philosopher may not be so very eager immediately to implement his knowledge into action. Ultimately he may do, because ultimately there is a personality which combines all the three together. At a higher level, the rational, ethical and aesthetic, all the three can meet together. Although there are still conflicts even among these three personalities. In fact, the science of personality becomes complex because of the fact that at different levels, different harmony is obtained. But not complete harmonies. Some kind of harmony arises when there are gaps in the personality, there are conflicts of personality which still need to be resolved. Even the developed aesthetic personality, which combines the powers of rationality and ethicality, some predominance of one or the other may remain for a long time, depending upon the learning which he has pursued so far. And you will see that the aesthetic tends to give less importance to the questions of morality, tends to give less importance to the debates of appearance and reality. Very often the aesthetic man is tired of attending the philosophical debates. So he is a moralist. A moralist also, whenever he attends a philosophical debate, very often he says, what is this all trouble unnecessarily? You tell me what is really, ultimately what is your conclusion, and then let us put it in practice immediately. This is his fundamental drive. But the rational man says that to arrive at the truth you require a long, long practice of understanding, gathering data, which requires a long time and don't be in a hurry. So a philosopher thinks that a moralist or an aesthetic man, they are unnecessarily in a hurry. They don't have the patience to find out the truth. They simply want to grab the truth and say, now let us know immediately how to apply it. This is a special characteristic of these three personalities.